Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we continue our study of Romans, I just thank you for the truth that's found in the book. I just pray, Lord, that you continue to open up our hearts and minds to it, that you continue to change us and sanctify us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have been going through the book of Romans, Paul has already pointed out in Romans chapter 2 and 3 that mankind, whether you are a Jew or you are a Gentile, you are not capable of standing before a holy and righteous God. Any attempt of morality or righteousness apart from Christ is futile. And you can see Paul address that in Romans 3:20, which we've already covered, when Paul wrote, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law is the tutor that brings us to Christ, but it doesn't save us. We can't have acceptance before a holy and righteous God. And as Paul said this in verse 20, one would think, well, this is a desperate situation. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I can say. But then as we have already studied in verse 21, Paul says, but now. It's a turning point. But now. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. This is the gospel, that you and I have a righteousness apart from the law with our belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Well, how does this happen? Well, Paul tells us, in verse 22, he says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be the just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." You and I, who place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have justification. Christ is our propitiation. But as I preached last week, even our faith is a gift. Even our faith, it's not us, as I said last week, it's not us partnering with God. It's God calling us. Well, Paul then poses a question, and it's a very important question. In verse 27, which is our focal passage this morning, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Since you and I have a righteousness apart from the law, we can't boast. Since God chose us, we can't boast. Where is boasting then? It's a natural tendency for mankind to boast. One could say boasting is self-promotion. One could argue in a religious sense that boasting is self-justification. I'm showing how good I am. I'm justifying myself if I boast. It's not a surprise that men are boasters. And in fact, Psalm 94:4 says, all the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. And when you think about boasting being a form of self-justification, I am worthy because of blank. I am worthy because of blank. You can see the world self-justifies or boast through the things that are important in the world. When you think about what's important, what is looked upon as a personal asset in the world, we could say that riches, materialism, are a form of boasting, self-promotion, self-justification. I am successful because I have accumulated X. I am successful because I drive a certain type of car. I am successful because I have achieved a certain type of notoriety. The world also says that intelligence is a personal asset. It's something that one could boast about, one that boasts in one's own personal wisdom. Also, power. As you think about the world looking at power and people boasting about the power that they have, whether it's power in a political sense, power through their job, power in their title, which leads the prophet Jeremiah to say in Jeremiah 9:23, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Boasting is a problem for mankind. Religious men can boast in their own morality. The Jews had a tendency to do this. And as we look at our focal passage, it says, where is boasting then? A lot of people have written a lot of commentaries and they go into a lot of detail about what is Paul really talking about here. Is he talking about what level of boasting is the Jew boasting about? Is he boasting about his lineage? Is he boasting about his morality? It's really not that complicated because Paul tells us what he's talking about earlier in Romans chapter 2. You just have to go back to the previous chapter. So when he asks this question, where is boasting? Look at what he says in Romans 2, starting in verse 17. He says, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law, and make your boast in God. Now, as I read on, you can hear the sarcasm in Paul's voice as he writes this. And know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The Jew not only boasted in his lineage, as we talked about in Bible study this morning, I am of Abraham, but he also boasted because he mistakenly thought that his attempt to keep the law would provide him a path to salvation. This is who Paul is writing to. He's already said that you can't have salvation through the keeping of the law, through the deeds of the law, as we read earlier, through the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. And he's telling the Jew in Romans chapter 2, don't boast. Even if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot boast about it because you didn't even provide your faith. It was through a gift of God. The Christian has received a righteousness apart from the law, and we cannot boast about it. And in fact, in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, Paul wrote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And as I talked about last week, one could have pride in saying, "Well, I chose Christ. I walked the aisle. I went through some particular type of ceremony. I did this. I did that." Well, no. In Ephesians, it says that faith is a gift of God. Faith is a gift. And because faith is a gift, I therefore cannot boast. Cannot boast. Paul, both in Romans and in Ephesians, told them not to boast. And remember, this is written to Christians. He's writing to the church of Rome. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And he says, don't boast. Don't boast. He also told this to the church at Corinth. And I'm reading in this particular passage from the English Standard Version, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. And sometimes we pass over this. I read this verse, I believe, last week. And sometimes we hurry through this particular verse. But I want you to think about something. It says, "For consider your calling, brothers." For consider your calling. As I was thinking of this, it's basically what Paul's doing is saying, remember where you came from. I remember one time I was telling a story about growing up. The person that I was telling the story to grew up in the same region that I did, East Texas. And I remember I told this story, and she laughed, and she looked at me, and she said, "You can take the boy out of East Texas, but you can't take the East Texas out of the boy." When you think about, this is what Paul's doing. He's saying, "For consider your calling." Remember where you came from, and look at what he says. "Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Your version may say, "Let the one who glories glory in the Lord." In other words, I have absolutely nothing that I can crow about. And as I stand before you as a Christian since 1976, I was not involved in one single thing. And since you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, it's through His power and might that you were chosen therefore we cannot boast. John 15, verse 16 says, this is the words of Jesus. He said, you did not choose me. You did not choose me. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I didn't choose. You didn't choose. I didn't have an amount of faith in my life that would enable me to discern what I should do, nor did you. That came from Jesus himself. And what Paul is saying here is that for those who have faith, for those who have faith, there is nothing that you can boast about. And it's not just our salvation, it's our whole Christian experience. And in fact, turn with me to a verse that we read a lot. It's in Romans 8, verse 28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, who's doing the calling? It's Christ. And then he goes on, and it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. It didn't say that he gave us the opportunity to pick. It says he did these things. Because he's done these. Because he's justified us. Because he's moving us along through the power of the indwelling Spirit through justification. I have nothing to boast about. Because one day when I stand before Him in His presence and you stand before Him in His presence in your glorified state, it's through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. We have nothing that we can boast about. Where is boasting then? It is excluded through the law of faith. Reminds me of Philippians 1 verse 6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. It doesn't say that I'll complete it. It says He'll complete it. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Not only does He call us, He completes us. Therefore, I can't boast. You can't boast. Now, what does this do for us? A church that recognizes this, that we aren't a people of boasting. We're not a people that get around and say, aren't we the smartest people here in our community? We picked, we did the right thing, and we're all going to get together and we're just going to slap ourselves on the back and tell each other how smart we are, how moral we are, how good we are. That just leads to a type of a religion of the Pharisees. But when we all come together and we recognize the power of Jesus Christ, the power of His cross, the power of His resurrection, and the power of His calling, we are a people of grace. We are a people of grace. We're a graceful people. And because we're a graceful people, first of all, we're graceful to one another. We recognize that we're imperfect. That God's called us out, that He's molding us, He's shaping us, He's moving us along, He's completing His work in each and every one of our lives. We are a people of grace. But we're not just a people of grace for us inside these walls. We are also a people of grace in recognizing that the world desperately needs Jesus Christ. That I cannot talk anyone into being moral. I cannot talk anyone into accepting or recognizing the power of God. It's only God's will and work that He can move the hearts and minds of men. I can't boast in my preaching. It's the Word of God. I can't boast in teaching. It's the Word of God. You can't boast in your witnessing. It's the word and power of God. Where then is boasting? It is excluded by the law of faith. Join me in prayer, please. Father, I just pray that we would always remember the mighty power of the cross and the resurrection. That you did for us what we were unable to do. And not only did you perform that upon the cross, but you also enabled us to recognize it and believe it and embrace it. That it's not us. It's you. It's you. And we know, Lord, that when we get to heaven, that we'll take our crowns and we'll put them at your feet, recognizing that we don't have a right to be in your presence, but it was only through your gift of faith. I pray, Lord, that we might always recognize how wonderful this gift is. I pray, Lord, that we might share this gift to others who desperately need it, recognizing that man cannot be acceptable in your sight apart from Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.